ESPN. All right. 93.5 Sunny. 95.3.
Friday. And Bill Melberg, political humorist and satirist. Good morning, my friend.
Hello, Stevie. Hello, Diane.
Hello.
And good morning, ESPN Radio and Sunny listeners.
Well, Bill, once again, we've had another busy news week. President Obama traveled to the Middle East to meet with Israeli, Palestinian, and Jordanian leaders. Religious leaders and diplomats from around the globe traveled to the Vatican, where they met with Pope Francis following his inauguration Tuesday. Illinois is meeting Colorado in Texas this afternoon. NCAA round one. Round two, technically. And Republican politicians gathered in Washington last weekend to devise a strategy that will make the Grand Ole Party more relevant in a rapidly changing society. So, Bill, I ask you, my friend, the same question I presented at the start of last week's show. Where do we begin?
Well, Stevie and Diane, let's focus on that Republican gathering in Washington last weekend. The Republican Party is still feeling the sting of last November's elections. So many GOP leaders were so very certain that Mitt Romney was going to win, including Mitt Romney, which is why they're now asking themselves, what happened? Where did we go wrong? And some of the younger, newer Republican leaders who met at the CPAC convention in Washington cited our changing culture and their party's failure to address those changes as one of the biggest factors that led to the Republican defeat last fall.
You mean the changing attitudes of the younger generation about a number of issues as well as the changing demographics in this country?
Exactly. And another problem that the Republican leaders cited at their meeting is the economic illiteracy of a growing number of Americans, the so-called low-information voters.
Economic illiteracy?
Yes. Mitt Romney assumed that they would be that he would be elected based on the bad economy, but the exit polls last November seemed to suggest that many Americans, perhaps a majority of Americans, certainly a majority of voters, don't understand basic economics or capitalism, which is why the Republicans have concluded that they need to reach out to the younger generation. They need to teach economics 101 and the fundamentals of capitalism to future voters.
Well, how do you think they can do that?
Well, Stevie and Diane, I suggest they start with the basics. They should use educational television programs to get their message across. For example, since former President George H.W. Bush, number 41, sounds so much like the late Fred Rogers, I think the Republicans should let him star in a new children's program which would begin the process of creating an informed electorate. They could call it Mr. Bush's Neighborhood. And the show might sound something like this. Good morning, boys and girls. I'm Mr. Bush, and welcome to my upscale Republican neighborhood. As I slip on my Izod sweater and my Sperry topsider shoes, let me ask you a question, boys and girls. Can you say capitalism? I knew you could, but do you know what capitalism is all about? I bet you don't. And I bet your mommies and daddies are clueless, too. So you might want to call them into the room to watch today's program with you. Because the family that learns together votes together. And we have a very special guest this morning who's going to help us to learn about capitalism. Her name is Diane Ducey. Oh, did you hear the doorbell, boys and girls? I bet that's Diane Ducey now. Let's go and let her in. Oh, wait a minute. It isn't Diane Ducey at the door. It's our speedy delivery man from the post office, Mr. McStevie. Good morning, Mr. McStevie. Are you bringing us some important packages in today's mail?
No, I just stopped by to tell you that due to the growing financial losses at the post office, we won't be delivering your mail on Saturdays anymore starting in August. Plus, our regular deliveries won't be quite as speedy as they used to be, which is why we just raised the price of stamps. Less service at more cost. That's our new government motto.
Oh, my goodness. That's terrible news, Mr. McStevie. Maybe you'd better come in and join us as we learn about capitalism this morning. Diane Ducey's going to teach us all about profits and losses.
Gosh, maybe I should call the Postmaster General and tell him to watch today's show.
That might be a good idea, Mr. McStevie. Oh, look, here's Diane Ducey at the door. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, Mr. Bush. Are the boys and girls ready to learn about capitalism?
Yes, we all are. including my friend Mr. McStevie, the mailman.
How do you do, Miss Ducey?
Hello, I'm pleased to meet you, Mr. McStevie.
Well, now that the introductions are over, let's take a look at the things that Diane Ducey delivered to my house before the program. My goodness, what are all of these things, Diane?
Well, Mr. Bush, these are the things the boys and girls will need if they'd like to start their own business and make some money for themselves. These are the things they'll need to have on their own lemonade stand.
A lemonade stand? Oh, that sounds like fun.
Starting your own business is fun, Mr. Bush, but it's hard work, too, and you'll have to invest some money at the beginning in order to make some money later on. Here's how it works. First, you'll need a table and chairs for the lemonade, and you'll need you and your customers. Perhaps you can find an old table or some folding chairs in your basement or garage, so they won't cost you anything. Next, you'll have several large pitchers, in which you can probably find in your kitchen, so that won't cost you anything either. Then you'll need a styrofoam ice chest, like the kind you take on picnics. You can find one of those in your garage, too, I bet. Plus, you got the ice cubes from your freezer, and of course, you'll need some disposable plastic cups for the lemonade that you'll sell to the customers. You can buy 30 cups for $3. That's about 10 cents each. And last but not least, you'll need some lemonade mix. That costs about $3 for a package. Makes about 30 cups of lemonade, which is another 10 cents a cup. Oh, I almost forgot. You'll need a large piece of cardboard that you can tape onto the table, too, to advertise your lemonade stand and the price of that lemonade. You can probably find that at home, too.
So, how much are you going to charge for the lemonade?
Well, that's a good question, Mr. McStevie. Since the cost of the cups is 10 cents each and the cost of the lemonade, 10 cents per cup, that means the cost for each glass of lemonade that we sell is 20 cents. So if we charge 50 cents per glass, we'll make 30 cent profit for every glass we sell, which means we can make a profit of $9 if we sell all 30 cups of lemonade.
Wow, $9 whole. Now, let's see. The cups cost $3. The lemonade costs another $3. That's $6 that you'll have to invest at the beginning. But if you sell 30 glasses of lemonade at 50 cents each, that generates $15 in total sales. And when you subtract the $6 that it cost for your expenses, that leaves you with a $9 profit. That's awesome.
Wow, what are you going to do with that profit, Diane? Take a Florida vacation like President Obama?
No, Mr. McStevie, we're not going to spend the profit money. We're going to reinvest into our business with that whole $9. We can buy more glasses and more lemonade, which means we can sell more lemonade too. And more lemonade that we sell, the more profits that we'll make. So our business will grow. In fact, if we sell enough lemonade, our business will grow so big that we'll have to hire some workers to help make the lemonade and serve it to the customers. So our successful business will help create new jobs for other boys and girls.
And that, boys and girls, is what we call capitalism or free enterprise. Isn't it terrific?
I think you're forgetting a few things.
What things are we forgetting, Mr. McStevie?
Well, first of all, if you're planning to set up your lemonade stand in front of your house, you can forget it. You'll be breaking the zoning laws for your community. You can't have a commercial enterprise on property that's owned for residential use. Violating those laws could send the boys and girls to jail. So, could operating a food concession without a license from the city government? The license will cost you $1,000 or more. Next, the boys and girls will have to invite a food inspector to visit their site and approve the stand. The food inspector will check to make sure that everything is sanitary and up to the latest municipal and Board of Health codes. Also, people might spill their lemonade, so you'll need an environmental impact study to make sure the lemonade spills don't damage the surrounding property. And last but not least, you forgot about taxes. Income taxes, self-employment taxes, federal taxes, state taxes, county taxes, city taxes.
But, Mr. McStevie, if we have to buy all of those licenses and pay all of those taxes, there won't be any money left for any profits, and the boys and girls won't be able to start their own lemonade business.
Well, maybe the boys and girls can volunteer to work on Senator Durbin's reelection campaign, or maybe they can work on Governor Quinn's reelection campaign. If they do, maybe Senator Durbin or Governor Quinn will help get them past the red tape that's involved with starting a business in America today. In fact, maybe they can wind up with a lemonade concession in the cafeteria at the airport or the Capitol building in Springfield. Of course, there'll be some kickbacks involved, especially if you're selling your lemonade in Crook County.
Good grief. That, boys and girls, is what we call crony capitalism, which is related to old-fashioned socialism. And the glories of socialism are what we'll be talking about here in Mr. Bush's neighborhood the next time we get together. That's when we'll be visiting the land of make-believe. Ooh. Until then, bye, boys and girls. And don't forget, tell your mommies and daddies, vote Republican.
There you have it, a preview of the new GOP TV. When we come back, political humorist Bill Melberg will be giving us a taste of some of the movies we can expect to see on GOP TV. So stay tuned to ESPN Radio 93.5 and the new Sunny 95.3. Hey, we're back with political humorist Bill Melberg. And Bill, you just gave us a little preview of the children's programming that we might see on a new Republican television channel. What sort of movies would we see?
Stevie and Diane, contrary to what most people think, not all actors in Hollywood are liberals. In fact, there are quite a few conservatives in Hollywood.
Name two.
Well, there's there's John Voight.
Yeah.
He's very conservative.
Yeah.
And, of course, Clint Eastwood.
Okay. Yeah, right.
And here's two more, Jessica Simpson and Britney Spears.
Really?
Yes, really. But, of course, the most famous Hollywood Republican was Ronald Reagan, and here he is in one of the most famous movies he ever filmed, the deathbed scene where he played George Gipp in Canute Rockne All-American.
George.
Yes, Mac.
George, this telegram just arrived from Walter Camp. You've been named fullback on his All-American team. Kid me, Rock. Oh, it's on the level. You're gonna be all right, kid.
I haven't got a complaint in the world, Rock. I'm not afraid. What's tough about this? Rock. Someday when the team's up against it, the brakes are beating the boys. Ask them to go in there with all they've got. Win just one for the Kipper. I don't know where I'll be then. But I'll know about it. I'll be happy.
Stevie and Diane, that's what the Republican Party needs to do the next time around if they want to stay in the game.
What's that?
Well, I think we missed the line, but win one for the Gipper.
No, I heard it.
It was there.
I heard it.
All
right.
It was there.
Yeah,
it's got me. Which reminds me of this afternoon's basketball game in Austin. Maybe we can do that as well.
July night.
Yeah.
Win one for the Gipper.
Yeah. We hope so. Illinois.
Of course, I think Harvard's going to take it all.
Hey, how about that? How would that sound if you had Harvard, if you could really hear the players talking, Bill?
Well, I think Thurston Hall the Fifth is on that team. Oh, come on, fellows. Let's win the game.
Society clap.
Give me the ball. I'm open.
I prefer Oski Wawa myself.
Yeah.
There you go.
The whole thing's pretty fun. Hey, how about Northwestern? I know you have a lot of people up there. Who are they going to hire, I wonder? They got rid of Bill Carmody.
Yeah, they've certainly gone through a lot of coaches over the years, haven't they?
Well, you know, he hung in there for quite a while and actually did a pretty good job. It just, you can't get to the darn tournament, which isn't easy to get to, but they're kind of waiting to get that. Northwestern's going to break in the door and get one. They had some injuries and all kinds of things up there. So
football's a better program.
Oh, boy. Northwestern has totally come around in football. They're really good.
Hey, fellas, Rick Williman stopped by the studios here at the Pines in Urbana and said 5 stars on our lemonade radio skit. Thank you, Rick.
Yeah, you bet.
Awesome.
Can you say profit?
Yeah.
Exactly.
You forgot all the taxes. You have to get an environmental study done.
Nice.
Bill, thank you, my friend.
Oski Wawa, go liner.
It's Bill Melberg. Find him at AnEveningWithThePresidents.com. I'll be playing some music for you on the sunny side here on 95.3 ESPN The Herd. More on the Illini and more basketball on 93.5 ESPN. And again, sunny 95.3, soft rock favorites. And then now I'm hanging out for you for a few hours of that. Go Illini, Dan. Have a great day.
Enjoy the weekend.
We'll see what we got Monday with that snow, folks. Stay
That's
with
right.
us. TNJ today, live at Jupiter's at 1. I'm Stevie J from Champaign. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend and go Illini.
Cardinal fans, this is Mike Claiborne. Join Kevin Wheeler and me as we follow the Redbirds this offseason on the U.S. Cellular.